Thursday, March 21st, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. Hey, if you are sick of the same old sports talk, if you're tired of the same subjects again and again and again, hang out here for a little while. You're going to like it a little bit better. We talk sports. We try to do it with a dose of common sense, which is desperately needed these days, because so many times you're just getting silly hot takes. They don't even make any sense. I don't even think the people saying them even believe what they say. We try to look at it with a little more common sense approach, and we prefer to laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever we get a chance, because a lot of it is actually pretty funny. Hey, we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Hope your week is going well, and we are just about to the weekend, but we have even better news than that, because today, March Madness gets rolling. We are going to have four straight days of nothing but college basketball games. Going to be a very exciting NCAA tournament this year. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know what you are looking forward to this year in the NCAA tournament. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe it's not even NCAA basketball related. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you need some help with something in your life. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what it is you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com, where you can pick up some of the latest Daily Dose gear over there. Hey, we've got Daily Dose t-shirts. We've got Daily Dose sweatshirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, a number of items over there. And we don't just have our standard Daily Dose logo. We also have our Daily Dose investigative team logo over there. Trust me, if you go over there and check it out, you're going to like it. Make sure you pick up some Daily Dose gear. Hey, and today is the last day that you can really join the Daily Dose Tournament Challenge bracket. Go over to ESPN, join the Tournament Challenge, click on the Groups tab, and just search Daily Dose. There you can find us and join up with our group. And I've told you all week, winner of the Daily Dose bracket this year, we are going to send you a Daily Dose t-shirt courtesy of tpublic.com. So make sure you get over there. Get over there early, because the longer you wait, the further you're going to fall behind. But fill out your March Madness bracket. It doesn't cost anything to fill it out. You can do it for free. Just fill in your information and get that taken care of. We want to see who knows college hoops. Hey, we have a lot to get to today. As we have done all week, we have a flashback episode for you as we look back at the Daily Dose in 2015. We look at a variety of sports stories. There was actually a bizarre extreme sports accident, and we even discuss a little NHL hockey. You know, we're not the biggest hockey podcast out there. We even talk a little NHL hockey here. We also look at the NBA playoffs, which were rolling along at this time, and a listener emails us and gives us a Daily Dose top five list that you will not want to miss. So sit back and relax. Enjoy a flashback episode of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Wednesday, May 20th, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you're going to get anywhere else. I know there are a number of places you can go to. There are podcasts out there. You can go to the mass media outlets that are out there. You can turn on your TV. There's a lot of different takes on sports. We're going to give you something just a little bit different than anyone else. We're going to look at things just with a little bit different of an angle than you're going to find anywhere else. You got to check out the Daily Dose Sports podcast a couple different ways. If you are an iPhone or an iPod user, go to iTunes. We have a page on iTunes that you can get it from there. You can subscribe to it there. If you are not an iTunes user, that's okay. I know that sometimes I don't always like iTunes and Apple and all the things that they give you. Go to Podcast Republic, and you can download the podcast and subscribe to the podcast right directly to your Droid device. That way you do not miss a single show. You know what? This is our 25th episode. This is our 25th episode. Who knew it would even last this long? We're not where we want to be yet, but I just want to thank all of you listeners for making that happen, because, you know, we're not exactly where we want to be yet. We still want to get bigger. We still want to get better. But 25 episodes, we're on the right track. And I like the direction that the things are going right now. We have a lot to get to this week. We've got NBA playoffs. The NFL seemingly is always in the news. We've got to talk a little bit of NFL. We're going to actually talk some NHL playoffs. I'll be honest, it's a little bit different of a show today. We've got some different things going. We're going to talk a little horse racing. Yes, I did say it. And we have a very historic Daily Dose top five today. Something that you do not want to miss, a little bit different than what we usually have. Got some breaking news coming out in the world of sports today. Of course, the NBA draft lottery was last night. And there was a little bit of movement. You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're the worst team in the league, had lost 66 games. They do retain the number one pick. We weren't sure. And then after that, we had some movement because, the Sixers dropped, the Knicks dropped, and somehow, now, do you remember me saying this? I said this probably 3 months ago. Watch and be shocked and amazed when somehow the Los Angeles Lakers sneak through and get a top pick. Yeah, we never saw that one coming. The Lakers end up with the 2 pick, dropping the Sixers to 3 and the New York Knicks to 4. I know. I was shocked too. If only someone had predicted that coming. Yeah, we actually did, like about 3 months ago. We said, you know what? I just have a feeling the league is going to make sure that the Lakers get a good pick. So, you know, Timberwolves, you've got a couple, you know, choices. You can go with Karl Anthony Towns, the big man out of Kentucky. You can go with Jahlil Okafor, you know, the big kid out of Duke, a couple different ways they can go. Here's the question for the Lakers pick, whoever that might be, whether that's Towns, whether that's Okafor, whether they went outside the box and went D'Angelo Russell or, you know, somebody like that. Here's the thing that I want you to think about. Would you rather be with the Timberwolves and just get your spirit crushed every day as you continue to be awful and lose every game? Because this isn't the first time that Minnesota has picked at the top of the draft. It seems like they pick at the top of the draft like almost every year. So it's nothing new for them to be picking at the top, and it doesn't really signify any change. Or would you rather go to the Lakers and have your spirit and soul crushed by Kobe Bryant every single day in practice, as we know is want to happen? The Denver Nuggets, they were set in there at about the 7th pick. They were supposed to be right around 7. And amazingly, they didn't drop. We were just happy they didn't drop. We were like, 7? That's great. We got 7. That's just how awful this franchise is. We're just happy that it's not worse. NFL owners on Tuesday voted 30-2 to approve a change in the rule governing extra points after touchdowns. The owners have considered a few different proposals, and basically what they came up with is the extra point kick from now on, instead of being snapped from the 2-yard line, drops back to the 15-yard line, making that like a 32-yard field goal basically for your extra point. Your 2-point conversion is still at the 2-yard line, and if you do go for 2, a defense could intercept, pick up a fumble, whatever it is, run it all the way back and get 2 points of their own. So that is the change that now has been put into place. The kick moves from the 2 to the 15, and the 2-point conversion will stay there, but defenses can now score. Hey, we're going to talk something a little bit today that we don't talk about very much. I'm going to be honest. We don't talk much in the way of extreme sports on the Daily Dose. I don't know why. Just extreme sports just don't really come into it. We talk about, you know, more of the major sporting events and you know, the big four and that kind of thing. But we got to talk a little bit about some extreme sports today. I don't know why we don't talk about it much. Maybe this is why we don't talk about it much. On Saturday, legendary extreme climber, line walker, and base jumper, Dean Potter, and a fellow jumper by the name of Graham Hunt, jumped off a 1,000-foot cliff in Yosemite National Park out in California. You know, they do this base jumping thing where you put this suit on, and then when you jump and you spread out the suit, it kind of looks like you're Batman, and it kind of gives you this gliding thing, and they glide down, almost touching the ground, and they glide over the ground, they glide between rocks, they glide through rock formations, they do all this stuff. Here's the bad part. And I genuinely, I don't mean to make light of this, but Potter and Hunt did not make it. They've done this many, many times. They did not finish the trip. I guess they died doing what they love. I mean, there is something to be said for that. When you sit there and you look at your life, you say, I would hope in some form or fashion, I would die doing something I love when I do pass. But I do got to think about this just a little bit. Because I feel like whatever your belief is in any sort of afterlife, that when you arrive at said destination, that you're kind of gathered with maybe there's some people greeting you, whether that is, you know, your maker or, you know, the St. Peter's or the family that's been waiting for you, whatever it is. And you kind of show up and everybody's kind of doing the, Hey, you know, you're here. It's good to see you again. What got you? I mean, what was it that got you? And you know, there's the typical, hit by a bus. Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people up here been hit by a bus. That happens a lot. You know, what got you? Liver disease got me. Oh man, we got a ton of people up here with liver disease. That's a tough one. What got you? What got you, Dean Potter? Well, I jumped off a 1,000-foot cliff. Okay, so drug abuse? Alcoholism? No, I was completely sober. I did that on purpose. Depression? Mental illness? No, I was at the height of my faculties. I absolutely knew what I was doing. You jumped off of this cliff on purpose? I had this bat suit on, and I felt like when I got to the bottom, I would fly. Well, I guess there's that. I don't know. You might have some disappointed people when you get to where you're going. Just maybe that's why we don't talk much about extreme sports, because when you lose at extreme sports, you really, really lose. Going to talk a little bit more sports we don't talk about much. Going to talk a little bit about the NHL. The NHL is down to the final four. And once again, in the NHL, Canada, America's hat, is not invited. You know, we haven't had a Canadian Stanley Cup champion since 1993 when the Montreal Canadiens won it all. And you know, that does not sit well with a country that has over 50 words for denim. Just keep in mind, you know, we have the original six teams. You know, you've got the Bostons and the Philadelphias and the Detroits and all these original six teams. And they have got to just be sick looking at this, conference final, saying we could conceivably end up with California and Florida in the finals. So if you're not sure what you're watching, and we're not going to stay on hockey very long, believe me, but if you're not sure what you're watching, if you turn on the NHL, so you're like, I'm not going to turn on the Stanley Cup playoffs. I see it's on, but I don't know enough about it. Let me just give you just a really quick rundown, because you might not be a hockey fan, but trust me on this. It's better than watching like the Diamondbacks versus the Brewers. You've got the Rangers versus the Lightning over on the Eastern side. That series is tied at 1-1. The Rangers, what they're going to do is they're going to try to shut it down defensively. It's not really the zone trap stuff that we're used to, but it's a lot of forechecking. It's a lot of trying to keep things out in front of them and keep your puck away from their goaltender. They do get great goaltending from Henrik Lundqvist, who was phenomenal in Game 7 in the last series. If you see the Rangers win, check the score, because it's probably 2-1. They win every single game 2-1, it seems like. On the other side, you've got the Lightning, and the Lightning want to skate. They want to get up and down. They're actually a pretty fun team to watch, but it's kind of interesting to watch the Rangers and Lightning with these clashing styles. One's trying to slow it down, one's trying to bottle things up, and one's trying to get up and down the ice. Their goalie, Ben Bishop, has been very good versus New York this year. That should be an interesting series to watch. Like I said, it is tied at 1-1. On the other side, you have the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, the Ducks, when you look at them, they are just bigger and stronger and faster. They've got some good scoring. They've got a lot of punch to their offense. I mean, you've got Ryan Getzlaff, you've got Corey Perry, really, really good scorers. And you look at them and you're like, I don't know. They look to me like they could just be that team, you know, that team to beat. They look so much bigger and stronger, but you're facing the Blackhawks. And the problem with the Blackhawks is they just know how to win. And it seems like no matter what happens, the Blackhawks just find ways to win every single time. And so it's going to be an interesting series to watch, because, you know, with the Blackhawks, it's not that you look at them and you say they're just overly talented. They just have guys that get how to win series, and that get how to win every single time they get on the ice. Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane. The big question, I think, will be, can Corey Crawford hold up in goal? And that's going to be the interesting thing there to keep an eye on. That series is also tied at 1-1, and it's one to keep an eye on. Now, if you're not sure where to find the hockey playoffs, I know it's not easy. Best place to find it, I think, is like on the Game Show Network on some nights, and then maybe the Travel Channel on other nights. I don't know. You'll figure it out. You'll find it. But just know that the Stanley Cup playoffs are out there. It really is. It is the most exciting postseason. The energy changes. And people are living and dying on every single shift. If you get a chance, I know you've heard me preach, hockey's exciting. You got to at least check it out at some point during this playoff run. Let's jump in to the NBA. We are also down to the conference finals in the NBA. And, you know, it has been an interesting NBA playoffs. Really interesting NBA playoffs. A couple teams weren't quite sure we're going to be here. There's a surprise team that made it. There's a surprise team that didn't. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how the series ended in the last round. And I want to talk a little bit about the teams that lost and are no longer in the playoffs, just briefly, before we look forward to what's coming. And we saw a glimpse of what was coming last night with Rockets and Warriors, and that was a phenomenal game. Should be a very, very interesting NBA playoffs coming up. You know, what can you say about Clippers and Rockets? Clippers pulled an all-time choke job in Game 6. And I told you last week that I thought that series was over. Clippers, all they had to do was finish off one game. So I'm watching that game, Game 6 against the Rockets. The Rockets have no life whatsoever. Clippers are up by 19 with like 2 minutes left in the third quarter. You're like, this game's over. And everybody, it's funny because now I'm listening to everybody and they're like, oh man, what a great job Kevin McHale did. I mean, the tweaks he did, the moves he made. I mean, he sat down James Harden during that stretch. Well, I guess we can judge on the final product, but didn't it kind of feel like McHale was like, this series is over. We might as well sit James because we're not getting anything out of him. He hadn't looked very good. Harden really wasn't doing anything. And so he sits him down, and that bench and that group of castoffs that I've told you in the past that I kind of like what they do with Corey Brewer and Josh Smith. I mean, it's a group that you look at and you say, really? That's the group? And somehow they find a way to come all the way back in Los Angeles and beat the Clippers. And the Clippers, oh my goodness, we're going to talk about them in just a minute. The Warriors beat Memphis in 6. Remember when Golden State was down 2-1 and it looked like we may have found some serious weaknesses to your game. You guys can't defend inside. Your you know, threes aren't falling. It seems like you guys have issues. And we were kind of back to that. I don't think a jump shooting team is going to win, you know, the finals. We kind of were starting to look at them that way. And then it seemed like the light kind of went on and Steve Kerr made just a couple of small tweaks and they figured some things out. And they decided, hey, you know what? We can't match up with you guys inside. We can't. We don't have a matchup for Pau Gasol, or for Mark Gasol. We don't have a matchup for your bigs inside. You guys just, you have, but you know what? You don't match up well with us either. And instead of looking at it as a negative and saying, I don't know what we're going to do, they just decided, well, you're going to have to try to find us too. We don't have to play big. We're going to play whoever we play, and you're going to have to match up with us too. And we saw them start doubling down on the post. We saw them start just forgetting about Memphis' shooters because we know Memphis struggles to shoot the basketball. Pretty soon the Warriors, oh, wow, how'd we ever doubt them? They look like they're just rolling right along. Cavaliers beat the Bulls in 6, and the Bulls looked terrible in that 6th game. I'm going to talk a little bit about Chicago and what that means for them. And then the Atlanta Hawks beat the Wizards in 7 games, despite the fact that I think Paul Pierce hit like 5 game winners on his own. He was yelling game, he was yelling series, he was yelling it's all over, he was yelling everything, and then the Hawks would come back down and hit another shot and win it anyways. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the losers, because the Los Angeles Clippers is the team, you know, that stood out the most to me. And I mean, they're the Clippers. We are who we thought they were. It is the Clippers. Now there's talk, and I'm sure if you're in the California area or if you're keeping an eye on NBA news at all, there is talk of breaking the Clippers up. Well, maybe this group shouldn't be together. DeAndre Jordan is already talking to some other teams. Maybe Chris Paul wants to go somewhere else. Where's Blake Griffin going to go? Would you break him up? Should we break him up and trade him and try to get something for him? Maybe we could make a big trade and kind of shake things up. And I understand that talk. And again, a lot of those moves sound really, really good when you're playing, you know, on your Xbox, but they don't really work in real life. And the thing is, it's very, very rare that you trade a star and you get a star player. Like it's pretty rare that we just say, hey, we want to trade Blake Griffin for Kevin Durant. Okay. Yeah. Let's just swap. That'd be neat. That doesn't really happen. What usually happens is you take someone like Blake Griffin and you say, hey, we want to trade you to Denver. Okay. Well, we'll give you, I don't know, like, we'll give you like Kenneth Faried and like a first round draft pick. Well, is that what you want? Because those draft picks are kind of kind of weird property. Yeah, I have a pick, but I don't, it's not really helping me on the floor. So I know that everyone's going to talk about the Clippers need to shake up their roster. They need to move everything around. They need to get rid of this guy. And can these guys play together? And I don't know. You know what you need? What you genuinely need? You need a bench, because that is what killed the Clippers in this entire series. They had no bench. And as good as Jamal Crawford had been, if you listened last week, you heard we gave Jamal Crawford our Sixth Man of the Year award. He was phenomenal off the bench all year until this series with the Rockets. And you know, the thing that stood out to me the most was, don't forget, the Clippers had gone to 7 games with the Spurs. They had gone, to 7 games with the Rockets. This was a group of starters that had a lot of miles on them this year, because they had to play 2 of those game 7s. And I don't care what they say about game 7s. Game 7s count for like 3 games in like NBA years. Like, 7 years in dog years. Game 7s count for a ton of games in those games. It's the stress. It's the pressure. It's all those things. And this team looked like they were just worn down. Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, phenomenal players. Phenomenal players. Did they cry too much and gripe too much? Of course. But they were worn down. And you could see, even when Jamal Crawford came in, he wasn't giving him much of a lift. Didn't shoot the ball well at all. And then you had the other players coming. Austin Rivers can't quite dribble. Austin Rivers not very good on defense. Saw him trying to defend James Harden. Ugh, that was rough to watch. In Game 7, did you see Austin Rivers trying to defend James Harden? I actually felt bad for Austin Rivers. Put up an article yesterday about Austin Rivers. If you haven't checked out the website, you should check out the website. There's an article up there about Austin Rivers. And I didn't realize, after the game, there were some rough things that went on after the game. You should check that out over at dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Got an interesting article about that. Clippers need a bench. You don't have to break up that whole team. You don't have to, tear the whole thing down and start over again. Believe me, as a Nuggets fan, I wish we were making it to game 7s. But you do need a bench. You need to get some more people in place there. Want to keep an eye on DeAndre Jordan. He is a free agent and could move around a little bit. And I'm hearing he's already talking to some other teams. Other teams that lost, Memphis Grizzlies. Mark Gasol is going to be a free agent. And the Grizzlies have no shooters. I told you, when Golden State kind of started to figure out, oh, hey, they can't shoot it, we'll just sag down on their bigs. They don't have anybody that can stretch us out. They don't have any shooters. The key is going to be for Memphis. Can they keep Gasol? And it sounds like they will. It seems like he's pretty happy there and that he would want to stay there. But you have got to get some shooters. And I don't know who you're going to get. I don't know who's out there. I don't know if that, you can't really draft shooters and expect them to be that good that early, but they need shooters. If they would have had shooters against Golden State, I think they could have given Golden State all they wanted. As it was, it just seemed like Golden State finally realized, hey, we can just basically sag off and play zone. We can just sag into the paint and limit what you're going to get. We can double down on every single one of your offensive players and make it really, really difficult for them. And that's exactly what they did. Grizzlies need some shooters. Chicago Bulls look to me like, roster-wise, going into the playoffs, just roster, just on paper, they looked like they had the most talent in the Eastern Conference. And then it looked like in that last game, in Game 6, it looked like they quit. It sounds like there's kind of a beef between Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose. They don't want to share the ball very much, and they didn't seem to get along, and it kind of feels like maybe Rose isn't very happy that this is Jimmy Butler's team. I don't know what's going on there. But that looked ugly. And head coach Tom Thibodeau, it's sounding like he could be gone. He may be out of there. Now, we know that Chicago has a history of getting rid of pretty good coaches. Coaches that have even had some success. Doug Collins, Phil Jackson. When Chicago gets it into their head that they are done with the coach, they are done with the coach. Let me just say this. For Coach Tom Thibodeau. And I know it seems like he rubs his players a little bit wrong way. It seems like he works his players really hard. It seems like they break down physically. I'll say this. I'll take him here in Denver, because I saw the spoiled group that we have running around here in Denver not listening to their coach. And then when the coach got fired, all of a sudden, oh yeah, we'll decide to play a little harder. I'll take Tom Thibodeau here in Denver in a hot minute. You can't bring him here soon enough to suit me. I know he won't come here, but that would be just fine. It sounds to me like Chicago is taking a good hard look at Iowa State coach Fred Hoiberg. And you want to talk about a difference in style. Going from Tom Thibodeau, lockdown defense, we're going to just bang you and be physical on defense. And then offensively, we're just kind of maybe grind out some points and hopefully score some points with our defense and some transition points, that kind of thing, to Fred Hoiberg, who is going to be, I don't want to say Golden State-ish, but it's very much like that. Spacing the floor, running the floor, finding open shooters, moving the ball at a fast pace. Very, very different styles. Here's my concern with Chicago. Chicago couldn't score against the Cavaliers defense. That is not a great defensive team. That is not a great defensive team when they have all their people there, when Love is playing, when Irving is at his healthy, when LeBron is not playing on one leg. They looked really, really bad to me, and Chicago looked worse. I don't know. Washington Wizards. Wizards just need to be patient. You know, the Wizards, I know that they were kind of excited this year, felt like, hey, we've actually got a little bit of a chance to make some noise. And with some of the health of the other teams, we're facing an Atlanta team that's very beat up. We have a chance to face maybe a Chicago or a Cleveland team that's very beat up. We have a chance to actually get there. But they have a good young core of players. You've got John Wall. You've got Bradley Beal. You've got Otto Porter. I realize that Paul Pierce may retire and Nene is probably on the backside of his career. Gortat, it doesn't have a ton of miles on him yet. That's a good young group that they have together. You might need to add another piece or two, and replacing a guy if he were to retire, and he may, especially after the playoff run that he had, Paul Pierce, you can't just go plug a new guy in and him be the same as Paul Pierce. But that's a nice squad that they have intact. They just kind of need maybe one or two more pieces that would help them. And really a good inside presence. I didn't think Nene gave them very much in the paint at all. So those are the four losers. Those are the teams that just went home. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. I told you earlier, Daily Dose Top 5 today is a historic Daily Dose Top 5. You know, the Daily Dose Top 5, it has a mind of its own. And you never know where it's going to go. And this week is certainly no exception. Because it just kind of takes over. You kind of start getting some things in mind, and here's the direction it could go. Maybe here's something that happened in the news. The Top 5 just kind of goes and does its own thing. I received an email this week from one of my favorite listeners, Mike in SoCal. And he, if you don't know Mike, back in the radio days when the Daily Dose was on the radio, Mike would call in every once in a while, always had some insightful thoughts, always had some good questions. And what he wrote to me, this week was, he said, you know, there are so many bad big men at the free throw line. And we're having all this hack-a-shack stuff, and they're talking about changing rules, and do we need to eliminate these guys shooting free throws, because if they can't make them, we better make it easier for them, which drives me crazy. But when you look at some of the big men that are in the playoffs right now, and you look at some of the big men in history, some bad free throw shooters, really bad free throw shooters. And so he said, have there ever been big men that could legitimately shoot free throws? I mean, who are some of the big men that could really shoot free throws? Excellent question. Because, you know, I started looking at some of the stats. I started looking at some of the free throw shooters and some of the big men throughout history of the game. And like this year, DeAndre Jordan, they go to the hack of DeAndre. DeAndre Jordan is shooting 42%. So I can disrupt your offense. I can disrupt your team. I can disrupt everything. And I know 42%. I know for a fact you're only hitting one, and you might not even hit the second one. Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is shooting 57%. And you go back, you know, even more in history, you look at someone like Shaquille O'Neal, who, I can hit it when I have to, 52% for his career, Shaquille O'Neal at the line. Ben Wallace, 41%. Ben Wallace was atrocious at the line. So good defensively, but so, so bad at the free throw line. Even, you know, the greats like Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain, and it's funny because Wilt Chamberlain shot about 51% at the line, but what he would do, and this is pretty, I guess well known, Wilt Chamberlain would tell his opponent, if you foul me, I'm fighting you in the parking lot afterward. Do not foul me. Do not touch me. I will fight you afterward. And so there were a lot of guys that were just afraid to foul Wilt. But I started looking and started saying, you know, who are some of the great big men that could shoot free throws? And the list that I have in the top five might surprise you. might not be guys that you would think of that could shoot free throws. Let me give you a couple of stats. There was a center that was pretty good. One of the greatest centers of all time, Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He shot about 72% at the line. Patrick Ewing shot about 74% at the line. Kevin Garnett, 7-footer, shot 79%. Bob Lanier, big man back in the day, shot 77%. Akeem Olajuwon was very, very good at the line. He shot about 71%. And Robert Parrish, the Chief with the Boston Celtics, shot about 72%. So who are the best free throw shooting big men? That is our top five this week. Best free throw shooting big men. Number five on our list this week. He was a big guy. He was a big guy. And we remember him being such a force inside, especially defensively. Offensively, he could do some things. It wasn't that he was challenged offensively. He could score. He could do some different things. But defensively, we remember him anchoring these defenses. And he played in the league for 14 seasons, shot blocker. The great thing about having a player like this behind you is, you know, I can gamble, I can press, because even if my man beats me and gets to the basket, he's back there to block that shot. He's back there to knock some things down. You might not remember that 7'6" Yao Ming shot 83% at the free throw line for his career. Yao Ming was a pretty good free throw shooter. Kind of forget that. He was such a big dude. 7'6". Are you kidding me? The one guy that, you know, actually was like the same size and looked, you know, around the same size as Shaquille O'Neal. Pretty amazing. Yao Ming, 83%. Number four on our list. Another guy that you don't really think of him being such a great shooter, but because you think of other things about him. He was very, very physical player, a little bit of a cheap shot player. You loved him if he was on your team, but if he was on the other team, you hated his guts. But this is a guy that was not afraid to do dirty work. He would take the charge. He would be physical. He would bang on your big man. He could rebound. He could shoot. He could score. You remember him as a member of the Bad Boys, but did you remember that Bill Laimbeer shot 84% at the free throw line for his career? Bill Laimbeer was another guy you didn't want to put him at the line. Which, you know, the interesting thing about these guys is these are the guys you want to have the ball down the stretch. Instead of always having to be my point guard, I can throw it inside to my big man. You want to foul him? Go ahead. We've kind of lost that these days, haven't we? Number three on our list, a guy that you might not remember. Didn't you just know that a Duke guy would be on here? You had to have a Duke Blue Devil on this list, didn't you? This guy played 14 seasons with the New Jersey Nets. You might remember a little bit more with the Philadelphia 76ers. He was solid. Had 10,000 career points. You usually remembered him as the big white stiff in the middle. But 6'11", Mike Jaminski averaged 84% for his career at the free throw line. Big Mike Jaminski, pretty good free throw shooter. Number two on our list. Number two on our list coming out of college, kind of an unknown guy. He came out, he went to Illinois Wesleyan. He was drafted in 77 by the Seattle Supersonics. Actually won a championship in 79 with Seattle. He was traded over to Milwaukee, spent the last few years of his career as a Milwaukee Buck, which may be where you remember him. And you might look at him and think, here's another big man stiff. I will tell you this. Jack Sikma has had a patented move. You might not realize this, but there is a move that basketball coaches teach called the Sikma move. And Sikma perfected this. And what this move is, if a big man catches the ball down on the block and he has his back to the basket, you reverse pivot to where you step away from the defender and you pull up and you shoot that quick shot. Quick reverse pivot and up and shoot. And Jack Sikma actually was the guy. I'm not saying he invented it, but he was the guy that was where he made his living a lot of times. If you see those old clips of Jack Sikma, the Sikma move, the reverse pivot and straight up into a shot. Jack Sikma shot 85% at the line. Another very, very good big man at the free throw line. Number one on our list. Number one on our list, big men. And I'll tell you this, because I don't think I mentioned this before. The kind of caveat for me on this list was you had to be at least 6'10". All of our guys, I think, were 6'11 or bigger. You had to be a guy that could play inside. You could do whatever, but you had to be a free throw shooter that shot at least 1,200 professional free throws. So I'm sure there's somebody out there that shot like six free throws. We're not putting you on the list. You had to be pretty legit. Number one on our list, top five best free throw shooting big men. And it is a lost art. It is a lost art. I heard that Chris Paul was actually kind of saying, and there were mumbles through the Clippers organization, that, you know, DeAndre Jordan doesn't work on his free throws. He doesn't work on them. And there's a number of people that have asked me because, you know, I said last week, give me a day session with some of these guys that struggle at the line. I promise you I can help them a little bit. I've had to teach this to little kids. It's not that hard. So much of this, I think, comes down to two things when you're talking about free throws. I think it is either their technique or they have some kind of psychological block when they're shooting free throws. This guy had none of those things. Number one on our list, best free throw shooting big man. Hey, he's one of the best ever. He absolutely revolutionized the power forward position because of his shooting ability. Because he could go inside, he could hurt you down on the block, he could hurt you down the paint, he could go outside, he could hurt you outside as well. 13-time All-Star, was won the championship in 2011, was named the championship most valuable player, was also named the MVP of the NBA in 2007. And shot 88% from the free throw line as a 7-footer. Dirk Nowitzki is our number one best free throw shooting big man. Hey, great list that Mike sent to us. I want to thank you for sending that out to us, Mike. Hey, if you have an idea, you got an idea for a top five, you got an idea of a subject that you'd like us to talk about, send it to me. Send it to me at dailydosesports@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Hey, I hope you have enjoyed our look back at some Daily Dose episodes from the past, some of these memories from some past happenings in the world of sports. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Thursday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Daily Dose, wherever you listen, just click that little follow or subscribe button. That way you won't miss a single episode. I have to say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.